This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Dennis Canty, Pacific Northwest Director for American Farmland Trust. Dennis Canty is here today to tell us about the report, Planting the Seeds, Moving to More Local Food in Western Washington, which summarizes the findings of the Western Washington Food Chat Study conducted by the American Farmland Trust and the University of Washington. Welcome, Dennis.
Oh, thanks so much. Great to be here.
It's nice to have you back on the sustainability segment. Would you like to begin by telling us about the American Farmland Trust?
Yes, we're a national nonprofit focused on farmland protection, started in 1980. So we're really kind of the nation's oldest farmland protection organization, headquartered in Washington, D.C., and we've got 8 regional offices, including an office here in Seattle. And our territory covers Washington, Oregon, and Idaho.
What is the focus of your work in Washington State?
Well, we're really involved in a few different kinds of things. First of all is straight-up farmland preservation, so making sure that farmland is permanently protected from development and is available for farm use in future years. Secondly, we're pretty actively involved in local food issues, and that's really the focus of this food shed study. So it's really hard to talk about farmland protection without also talking about local food and the critical role that local farmland has in producing food. So we've been much more active on those issues. And then the final thing that we're doing quite a lot of is trying to improve environmental practices on farms. So we kind of recognize that to some extent agriculture is a 19th century occupation in the 21st century, and we really need to bring the standards up for environmental impact and reducing water quality impacts and improving habitat quality and doing all of those things on farmland.
What led to the Western Washington Food Shed Study? What was the purpose or goal?
Well, as I say, our core mission is farmland protection, and there is a small segment of the American population that cares very deeply about farmland protection. It's almost like a splinter of the conservation community, where people are really concerned about it as a land use issue and as a land protection issue. But there are far more people interested in local food issues. I mean, we all eat at least a few times a day. And every time we eat, we're developing a kind of political statement about what we believe in terms of where our food comes from. And we felt like this was a critical opportunity to turn the foodies into farmies. So essentially to get all of those people who are really keenly interested in local food also interested in protection of local farmland.
What do you see as the key benefits of local food for Western Washington?
There are tremendous benefits. I mean, I think a lot of people have already heard about the health benefits of eating fresh local food and the fact that we lose a lot of nutritional benefits when we transport food large distances and where there are large intervals between when food is harvested and when it's eaten. And so there's, you know, a tremendous role for improving the health of the population here and reducing obesity and diabetes and all of the issues related to a bad food system that we've developed over time. What people don't really realize is just how important local food is for things like the environment of Western Washington. And so we have a tremendous amount of land around Puget Sound in farming, about 7% of the basin is in agriculture right now. And if we can protect that land and improve the environmental quality of that land, it's going to have a tremendous benefit in improving the quality of the environment in Western Washington. Then finally, there's this sort of economic element and the fact that agriculture is really the lifeblood of a lot of our rural communities. And a lot of places like Carnation and Duval really depend on the vitality of the local farm economy. And so it's a tremendous source of local employment and economic development here. And so there's this whole suite of issues that are dependent on keeping a viable farm industry in Western Washington.
What questions did the Western Washington Food Shed Study seek to answer?
Well, the most fundamental ones are, what do we eat and what do we grow? Our study area is right up to the crest of the Cascades, so it's 19 counties in Western Washington. So what is it that we eat in those 19 counties, and how much of what we eat is locally grown? And you think with such simple questions, you know, we'd be able to finish up this study in a couple of weeks and have a nice long vacation afterwards. It proves to be surprisingly difficult to figure out what we eat and what we grow. We do a little bit better on the what we grow side because we're doing some surveys every 5 years. The USDA does these to determine exactly what's produced on Western Washington land. We know very, very little about what we eat.
Who conducted the study and what was your approach?
Well, so we were very fortunate to hook up with the University of Washington on this study. And there's a fellow called Brandon Bourne, who's on the faculty in the planning department, who's got a very keen interest in local food issues. So we went to Brandon and said, we've got this idea for a big research project, but we need a lot of help. And he was nice enough to pull together a graduate student studio on this topic that had a dozen graduate students in it who did the bulk of the research on this thing in the fall of 2011 and the winter of 2012. And so they pored over all of the information on what we eat and what we grow. They did a lot of the heavy-duty statistical analysis necessary. And in the second quarter, they really focused principally on what do we do about this? So the big finding in the first quarter was that we produce about 42 pounds of food for every 100 pounds we eat. We're not entirely sure that we're eating all of that 42 pounds. As a matter of fact, we're pretty confident that some of it's getting exported. But the second quarter really focused on what do we do about this? If we want a more local food system where more of our food supply gets produced locally, how do we get there?
Well, you've been alluding to some of this, but before we go into more depth, would you summarize the key findings of the study?
Yes. So I just mentioned the first of those, that we produce about 42 pounds of food for every 100 pounds we eat. A fair amount of what we produce is actually exported. So we think the actual amount of our diet that's locally produced is probably somewhere around one quarter or 25%. It's very difficult to get that much more precise, and some people have suggested that we might be a little bit high already. So that's one thing. We're currently producing somewhere around 25% of what we eat. And there are a number of ways that we can actually increase that percentage. And we looked at a handful of those, and we felt like if you were able to combine some of these solutions at a reasonable level of implementation, that you could get that number up in the 40, perhaps 50%, in our wildest expectations, somewhere around 60%. And we felt like that was a pretty exciting prospect, really, to try to get to the point where we could actually produce more than half of the food that we eat here in Western Washington.
And again, your definition of local is all of Western Washington, is
that correct? That's correct. Yeah, and it gets a little bit better in terms of local production if you reach over into Eastern Washington. We don't grow a lot of grain here in Western Washington, for instance.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Dennis Canty, Pacific Northwest Director for American Farmland Trust. Our topic is the report, Planting the Seeds, Moving to More Local Food in Western Washington. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Let's now examine in more depth what we eat and what we produce in terms of specific items. How much and what kind of food do we eat as a region? What are some of the top items?
First of all, we eat a little bit more than we're supposed to. We eat on average about 2,700 calories a day when we really should be closer to the 1,800 or 2,000 level. We eat a tremendous amount of protein. We eat lots of bread and other carbohydrates. We eat lots of sugar in all different forms. And our diet in that respect is really not that much different than the national diet. That was one of the other interesting findings we came to in this study is that we have this idea that each of the regions around the country has a unique diet, but when you actually compare what we're eating in Seattle to what's being eaten in LA or Houston or Washington, D.C., it's really not that different at the food group level. So the segment that is eaten in terms of proteins is all pretty much the same. Our proteins might be a little bit different than those eaten in, you know, St. Louis or something, where ours might be a little heavier on the fish component and theirs maybe more on the beef component. But the total amount of protein that we're eating is pretty high. And what nutritional studies have indicated consistently is that the American diet is a lot heavier in terms of proteins and carbohydrates than it really ought to be. And we're not eating our vegetables. No big surprise there. And so, oddly, our region is ideally suited for growing vegetables and not so well suited to growing carbohydrates. And so, even if we just simply went to a diet that was composed of more local sources, we would increase that fraction of our food that is locally produced and have really considerable health benefits as well.
Would you highlight some of the main types of food we do produce here?
We're pretty strong on dairy production. That's the kind of number one, and it's the only segment of our food diet that we produce in overabundance. So we produce far more dairy than we can actually consume. We produce a wide range of vegetables and fruits. So Western Washington is the number one producer of red raspberries in the country, for instance. But a lot of other fruits and vegetables are in the top 20. You know, things like mixed greens, salad greens, that is, and a lot of other vegetables. So we're really pretty strong on that stuff.
What would our diets be like if we only ate what we currently grow here?
Well, we drink a lot of milk, probably a little bit more than we really ought to. We'd be eating a lot less because we're only at the moment growing 42 pounds of food for every 100 pounds that we're eating. So we could stand to go on a little bit of a diet and reduce what we're eating. That is probably not at the moment a very viable solution to make that big a cut in what we eat. We would be eating a lot more vegetables, a lot less protein, so we're not raising nearly as much beef particularly or pork as we're eating. So it would be a considerable difference. And we kind of looked at the possibilities of a hyperlocal diet in this study and pretty quickly discarded it because it would be a pretty extreme leap. However, you could go a good bit of a distance towards that, even if we just adopted the USDA standards for what we eat. So if we ate what the USDA says we are supposed to eat, we'd have a diet that's much higher in vegetables, much lower in protein, and considerably lower, about 40% lower in total calories. And if we went there, we would have a much more local, much more sustainable food system.
Now, would you speak in more detail about how the amount of local food consumed in Western Washington can be increased? What are your specific recommendations?
So there are four major ones. First is rebuilding the connections between local producers and local consumers. So at this point, we've lost a lot of the connections that we need to bring local food to local markets. And that's probably the most effective thing that we can do. And unless we solve that problem, it's really difficult for us to make progress on this issue at all. So the first is food supply chains is kind of the jargony way to approach this. Second is bringing land into food production. And what this consists of largely is bringing land back into food production. So we've lost a lot of farmland over the last 50 years. And if we just brought a portion of that back, devoted it to food production, it would have a really considerable effect. Third is changing the way we eat as consumers and opting for the local choice. And so oftentimes when we go down the grocery aisle, we find a wide range of foods, some of which are local and some of which are imported, a lot of which are imported at the moment. And if we as consumers simply made the choice of the local product, that would have a tremendous effect in stimulating local food production. And then the final one is to reduce food waste. And this was a big aha moment in the course of this study, is just how much of our food is wasted. So it runs about 40% of our total food supply in waste. And the largest share of that, 42% of that 40%, is lost at the post-consumer level. So put simply, it's things that we buy and bring home in our shopping bags that we end up throwing away instead of eating. And if you could just make a really concerted effort to reduce food waste, you'd have the same effect as if you were planting thousands of acres of new farmland.
Which of the recommendations you just mentioned are likely to be the most effective?
So as I said, you really can't do much unless you solve this problem of the supply chain, unless you find better ways to bring food to market. And there's some really encouraging examples of that going on around the region and around the country. I think the most visible one is the rapid increase in the number of farmers markets around town and around the country. Farmers markets are increasing about 10% a year nationwide. So it's not just in areas like Seattle, which have a reputation as being kind of foodie centers, but it's also in the Midwest, the Northeast, the Southeast, et cetera. So it's all around the country we're seeing these local farmers markets and direct market programs started. So some of it is also food hubs for things like restaurants and wholesale food suppliers, trying to connect these people much more directly with the farmers themselves and cut out the middlemen. And there's a tremendous amount of growth in that area. It's a very exciting area. We've about doubled the amount of sales through direct markets between 97 and 2007. A little bit higher than doubling here in the far west, which is kind of the nation's leader on a lot of this direct marketing. So that's kind of one of the most exciting things going on right now.
What more do you think could be done to help increase the supply chain?
One of the things, I sit on the Regional Food Policy Council, which is a group of organizations and agencies around the region that works on food supply and farmland issues. And we've had some really interesting presentations from farmers markets associations in the last couple of months about how difficult it is to site farmers markets. One of the things I didn't realize is that for the most part, farmers markets here in town are borrowing space from somebody else, you know. And many of them get displaced on a regular basis by development activity. And if we really want to try to encourage this kind of direct marketing, if we really feel it's an important element of the local food supply, which our study certainly suggests, we need to get better at providing a permanent place in our communities for farmers markets. So that's one of the things that we could definitely be doing. The other thing is, you know, our behavior as individual consumers. And if you're like I am, on nice sunny Sundays, I go down to the Ballard Farmers Market and I shop. And on really rainy, gray days, I really don't so much. And if we really want to support our local farmers, we've got to be consistent about that and commit ourselves to the relationship that we have with the producers. Because if they show up and every other week they're doing a third of the business that they do on those sunny days, they're going to stop doing this. And we have a tremendous amount to lose if that's the case. So my predecessor as the director at AFT here in the Northwest, a great guy named Don Stewart, talked a lot about a compact between local farmers and local consumers. And it's sort of like a treaty in some respects in which we agree to shop consistently at farmers markets in return for farmers agreeing to consistently show up and bring their best food to us. And it's almost that kind of contractual relationship that we need to start thinking about developing here in the region.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Dennis Canty, Pacific Northwest Director for American Farmland Trust. Our topic is the report, Planting the Seeds, Moving to More Local Food in Western Washington. What do you see as the opportunities for increasing food yields on active farmland?
One of the interesting things is a lot of the agricultural land in Western Washington is actually not even growing food at the moment. It's either growing things like Christmas trees or it's growing pasture or sort of indirectly growing food. So one of the things that we might have to think about in the future is devoting more of that land into food production. And it's kind of a tough road because a lot of that land is not the top quality food production land. But as we look at this issue a little bit more, we have to think about how essential it is, not just today, but in the future, to actually grow our own food. I mean, at the moment, we import roughly 75% of our food here in the region. And so we're counting on a whole bunch of other people around the country and around the world to grow our food for us. And my sense is, in an era where we're consistently losing farmland, where climate change is reducing water supply, where global population is increasing to 9 billion people in the next 20 or 30 years, that it's going to become more and more difficult for us to rely on other people to grow our food. So where Right now, based on our current circumstances, it might not make a lot of sense to take land that's currently producing Christmas trees and convert it to food production. In 20 or 30 years, we might have to. And so we really need to be thinking ahead about this food problem. We're inevitably going to have to rely a lot more on our local food supplies to feed us, and at a time when there are all of these other pressures that are taking other land out of production.
What are some opportunities for reclaiming farmland?
So we've lost about 800,000 acres of farmland in the Puget Sound region since 1950. So about 60% of our farmland has now been developed in some respect. And so we've gone from about 1.4 million acres of farmland down to 600,000 acres right now. That's in the Puget Sound region, and Western Washington as a whole is about 1 million acres of farmland that we have remaining. But an awful lot of the land that's fallen out of production over the years doesn't have big buildings on it, doesn't have interstate highways. You know, it has parking lots, or it's just simply in fallow fields. And if you drive through the rural landscape right now, you'll find a whole lot of land out there that's really just growing grass and weeds. It's not in active production, but nor is it really developed yet. And so we see a tremendous opportunity to take some of that land and bring it back into production. The other thing that is happening around the country, which I sort of initially tended to discount, but I'm now taking a lot more seriously, is the food production in suburban and urban landscapes. That's really evolved a lot in recent years, from backyard gardens to some very major operations. We had an interesting presentation at the Food Policy Council last time from some people who traveled to Cleveland to meet with other experts on farmers markets. And they found some really interesting things going on in Cleveland, of all places. I never would have expected Cleveland to be the leader in the local food movement, but they're doing a tremendous amount of urban agriculture there, some of it very large scales. They showed pictures of this group that's building a 2 or 3 acre greenhouse complex in Cleveland to do winter food production. And I get news from around the country that indicates that they're not alone by any stretch of the imagination. In Baltimore, Detroit is a very famous example of areas that have now been cleared and rededicated to food production. And so I think there are good opportunities not only in the rural landscape, where we still have some large tracts of underused land, but also in the suburbs and the urban areas.
What is the best way to convert that rural land that could go back to farmland? What is the best way of actually getting a hold of that land for agriculture?
Well, you know, there are a few aspects of that. That's an interesting question. Part of it is that a lot of that land has changed hands at this point, and trying to get it back into the hands of people who are interested in farming it is a really key element of it. And for that, we're going to need additional funding. Washington State has not been in the forefront of farmland preservation funding. There are a lot of other states that do a lot better and who have much larger systems of protected farmland. And one of the things that we'll be working on in the upcoming legislative session is to try to increase the amount of state funding for farmland preservation. So part of it is to get it back into a kind of dedicated pool of land available for agricultural use. But there's a bumper sticker I've seen around town: it's not farmland without farmers. And I very much feel that that's the case. And it's not enough to protect the land. We also have to get farmers out on it. There's some really interesting things going on around the region in terms of farm incubators, programs like Viva Farms up in the Skagit Valley that bring young farmers onto the land to try their hand at active food production and food marketing and to build their farm-related businesses. And we really need that kind of service all over the region to try to bring the next generation of farmers onto the land. Because, as you probably know, the average age of farmers here in this country is 57 years old, and a lot of them are going to be facing retirement in the next 10 years. And unless we're training that next generation of farmers so that they're ready to take over food production for all of us, we're going to have a major problem. So it's both land and it's farmers on the land that are critical to this.
Looking at all the efforts to promote local food, which do you think are the most promising and where are we most needing to do extra work?
I think the farmers markets are where we've shown the most progress rapidly. And I think they're indicative of an urban group of consumers very, very excited about eating better local food. And so I think that has really kind of energized this entire suite of issues. These local consumers that are willing to go the extra mile and pay the extra dollar in order to get local food. And so that's kind of made everything else possible, it seems to me, that if it can be demonstrated to local farmers that there's a strong local market, a dependable one that brings in enough money that farmers can turn a profit, they will respond. Farmers are remarkably adaptable. They deal with a level of business risk that would frighten the rest of us. And so what we're seeing really is the ability of this new market to radically change the face of Western Washington agriculture. And it's being replicated all over the country, mostly on the urban fringe. And these are areas that currently grow the bulk of our vegetables here in the United States, and where this new model of markets that are stimulated by motivated consumers that in turn have farmers, new farmers in many cases, coming in to serve these new markets. This has been a very successful model. And so I think it's got tremendous potential. The part that I think is going to lag is the element that depends on a land base. That while we're in a bit of an economic downturn, and that has resulted in lower rates of farmland conversion in recent years, we're very nervous about what happens as we come out of the recession and whether there's a sort of go-go mentality in terms of development in our communities, and particularly the suburban cities, many of whom have kind of expansive visions about how big they ought to be. And we really need to get a lot more of that land protected. Fairly recently heard somebody refer to farmland as urban land in waiting. It's upsetting because it's pretty much true the way that we deal with farmland in this region and in this country is basically that it's vacant land, just waiting for something better to happen. And we really need to begin to think about it in radically different ways. I mean, this is the land that we depend on for the food that we eat. And we really need to be translating that mentality into much stronger tools for protecting our land base. And I'd love to see a large landscape of land permanently dedicated to food production on the doorstep of every American city. We're far from having that now, and we really need to be working on that in the next few years to make a difference on these issues.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think there's just a tremendous potential for local food supply here. I can see this as a possibility in the next 20 or 30 years. I think the study bears out that we have a tremendous potential to develop a local food supply here. An awful lot of it is going to depend on our individual actions as consumers. So a couple of the areas where we've made recommendations, things like buying local and reducing food waste, depend entirely on us doing the right thing, us making the right choices as we walk down the supermarket aisles, us buying just enough for us to actually eat and avoiding throwing stuff away. Even if we just did that, we'd go an awful long way to a local food supply.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Dennis.
Thank you very much for having me.
You have just been listening to Dennis Canty, Pacific Northwest Director for American Farmland Trust. For more information, check on the web at farmland.org/Washington Food Shed. Again, that's farmland.org/Washington Food Shed. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.